didn't try to meet a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil alludes me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burden. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to call upon the Creator of all things. And He hears us. What a loving God. What security we have knowing that He's our God. Nothing can separate us from that love. It's refreshing to be able to come here and to look into God's Word and to be able to praise Him in song, isn't it? It is. It refreshes the soul. Refreshes the spirit. Praise God. All right, we're in the book of Daniel. I'm going to do just a real quick recap so that we remember where we're at here. In the first chapter of the book of Daniel, we saw that in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar came, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem and besieged it. And he took these children. He took all of the good things, you might say, the spoils. And these children were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. All right? This king, Nebuchadnezzar, and those under him with power renamed these boys. They renamed them. And I wanted us to remember that. Daniel, his name, the name Daniel, means God is my judge. All right. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had his name changed to Belteshazzar. And that name means the keeper of the hidden treasures of Baal. So what he did was he changed their names, and each one of their names has a representation of God himself, the true and living God. And each one of the names he changed to represent his, as we know, false, little g, gods that he worshipped. Each one. Hananiah, the name means the grace of the Lord. He named him Shadrach. That name means the inspiration of the sun, S-U-N, the sun. They were sun worshipers also. Mishael, he that is the strong God is what it means. And he changed his name to Meshach, Meshach means of the goddess of Shak. And they were worshippers of Venus, and this was connected to that worship. Azariah, the Lord is a help, it means. And he named him Abednego. Literally, it means the servant of the shining fire. So we saw in the first chapter the situation here. That these boys, they were captives. We saw also that the king gave orders for them to have the king's meat and the king's wine. Remember that? Well, they refused because it's not what they were raised to eat. And they knew to eat right was being obedient to God's law. Remember, these were children of Israel. And they knew how to eat. And you remember that they requested pulse. Well, I identified pulse as the dictionary tells you, it's an edible seed that grows in a pod. So in my mind, they were eating peas and butter beans. That's what they wanted. They wanted peas and butter beans. They didn't want the king's meat. They wouldn't drink the king's wine. We don't know exactly why, because they were allowed to drink some wine. But it is very possible that wine had been used in worship to false gods, and so that would have defiled them as the king's meat would. All right. Now, I had Isaiah read for us in the second chapter. So, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. Verse 1 tells us that his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. When he woke up, he couldn't go back to sleep. So he called all the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. I'm not going to read all of it again because Isaiah read it for us. But notice in verse 10, basically what the king was saying was, you're hesitating because you think I'm going to remember it. You're not telling me what the dream was because you don't know it. And you keep on dragging this thing out because you think I'm going to remember it and tell you. Then you're going to make something up. That's kind of the gist of the situation here. In verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. If I had time, I'd write that up on the board. Did you hear what he said? There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. I'm just going to pull that out of there for just a minute. When it comes to salvation of the soul, there is not a man on earth that can explain and give you the king's matter. That secret of salvation. What a statement he made. That just jumped out at me. There is not a man upon the earth that can save your soul. There's not a man upon the earth that can explain it to you well enough for your soul to receive the Spirit of God. Not a man on earth. Nobody. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, you see. Nothing but the power of the Spirit of God giving you that understanding. I can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, and I certainly intend to. But the Spirit of God applies it to your heart. We talk about this morning being knocked down and lifted back up. We just got to get back up. We got to keep going, don't we? Oh, but when we call on God, we have the strength to get back up, don't we? We do. Total dependence on Him. There's not a man upon the earth that can pay for your spiritual life. There's not a man on earth that can shed His blood and that blood satisfy God on your behalf. Not a man on earth. No one but the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, verse 10, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician, astrologer of Chaldea. No one has ever asked anything like this. How can you ask this? And it's a rare thing, verse 11, that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Now, they were talking about the sun gods and Venus and all these things that they worship. Little did they realize that what they were saying was true. Now, their little gods know. There is none other that can show it before the king except the gods who dwelling is not with flesh. Well, you see, our God dwells with us, doesn't he? And he dwelt with Daniel. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Now I'm laying out the situation here. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. Well, you remember, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I hate to call them that name, but I can't remember the other ones well enough without reading them. They were considered wise men. They were 10 times wiser in knowledge than all these other people that they keep naming, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans. The king found them 10 times wiser. So they were in this group, is what I'm trying to say, that were to be slain. The king was mad. He couldn't remember the dream, and it bothered him. It troubled him in his spirit. He had to know, but he couldn't remember it. And they sought Daniel, verse 13, and his fellows to be slain. Daniel and the boys were in trouble, weren't they? The king had already made a declaration to have them killed, have them slain. They were going to do what they do, this chief executioner he sent. And his name, I think, was Arioch. Yes. Then Daniel, verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, or the chief of the executioners. That's what he was. He was the king's killer. He would carry out the king's decree. All right, Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He had already gone, already left the palace, gone out to kill all these wise men. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? I'm sure he's thinking, he hadn't even talked to me. I haven't even solicited the help of my God yet, and he's going to kill us. I would be thinking that. Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. So Daniel, he wasn't leaning under his own understanding, was he? No, he said, hold on a minute, king. Let me go and talk to the one God who has all power in heaven and in earth. That was his mindset. Hold on, I'm not going to tell you anything or try to make a decision. I'm not going to make anything up. I'm going to find out what God says, and I'll be back. That's what he's telling him. Then Daniel, verse 17, went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Why did he tell them? Verse 18 says that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. See, they sought the wisdom of God, didn't they? They knew who to depend on. They knew who they could trust in to pick them back up. This executioner had his sights set on them, didn't he? Yes. They turned to God. Verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. God revealed it to him. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar, the dreamer, himself couldn't remember. God revealed it to Daniel. the very thing that would save him and his fellows from the executioner. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." He revealed it to him just when he needed it. Just when he needed it. And he goes on to praise God. Verse 21 says, "And he changes," he's talking about the Lord, "he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He," God, "revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." What a faithful God. You know, he's always there when we call on him. The times and the seasons, Daniel was praising him because he's in control of them. A lot of times we bring something to the Lord, it's a big, enormous concern, worry to us, and he doesn't appear to our little finite minds to answer it as fast as we think he should. Well, let me remind you of something. When you're in that situation, God's not subject to time. He's outside time. Time doesn't restrict him like we see it restricting us. No, he's in control of time too. And in his perfect time, he revealed this secret to Daniel, that Daniel might reveal it to the king and be set above all these other wise men, as they were called, with his three brothers. What a God. All right, I'm going to read a few more verses just to connect this to verse 28. "Therefore Daniel went unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men." This is the executioner, the wise men of Babylon he went to destroy. "He went and said thus unto him, 'Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation.'" So Arioch put his sword back in his sheath, or whatever he did to recant, to stop the forward motion of this execution that the king had decreed. "Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste," verse 25, "and he said thus unto him, 'I have found a man of the captives of Judah.'" Remember, that's who Daniel is. "He will make, that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said to Daniel," whose name is Belteshazzar, that's what they named him, "'Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?'" Can you really do it? "Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king?'" They can't do it. There's no man on earth that can show the king's matter, remember? We just read that a while ago. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets." This is verse 28. "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to king to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." That's where we're going to stop today. Don't you realize that God is in control today in your life, just like he was in control that day in Daniel's life? He is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Praise God. He doesn't change, because he's a perfect, holy, and righteous God. Praise the Lord for his word. My prayer is that he will write this message on your heart and you will realize more that you are totally dependent on him to live the life that he has given you the desire to live, life for him. He's the power. He's the strength. He is the mighty rock.